time that she speaks and she brings a word to us, and I know that tonight will be no exception, and we appreciate her ministry, and we want her to come and just preach tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to do this. I don't take it lightly. It's a privilege to be able to bring the Word of God. It's not a right. It's His grace. And I'm thankful and honored for it. Thank you guys for putting up with me for the last year. I appreciate that too. I actually have to confess before I start. I had everything ready and everything was prepared. And, you know, with my perfectionist self, I was pretty proud of myself yesterday. And then I came into prayer last night. Yeah, and somehow Jesus decided he was going to wipe that perfectionism out of me. And he did a good job at it. So bear with me tonight. If you'll turn to John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Let's read. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your sweet presence that we felt in here tonight. Lord, we've showed up here tonight to hear from you, to hear a word from you. So right now, Lord, I ask you that you would take me out of the way. I pray that you will take all of us out of the way, and Jesus, you would just show up, that you would speak your word, that you would speak your word with authority, and you would speak your word with power, that it would change us and it would do something in us to make us just a little bit more like you tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My title for tonight is simply freedom. You may be seated. A 2009 Barna Group study in the United States states that 60% of Americans believe that there is no such thing as the devil. Now, I tried to find statistics for Canada. I was unable to, but I think that we would be pretty close to the Americans, though we do tend to be more of a liberal society. But they do believe that he is simply a symbol of evil, but he is not actually an existing entity. They believe that evil is something that is just naturally in every one of us, the opposite of good. In fact, most Americans, including those without faith, believe in the concept of good and evil. The battle between good and evil is something that everybody, no matter where you are, fundamentally gets. You understand that it is there. You might not understand it completely, but you can relate to the struggle between good and evil. If you take a look at the list of highest box office openings for movies in Hollywood, the highest money makers, you'll see that a common thread that runs through most of them is this concept of good versus evil. It is something that preoccupies a lot of our time. It is something that preoccupies a lot of the world's time. It is something that we somehow have in common, believers and unbelievers. Of the population who believe that there is an actual being called the devil, a good proportion, however, believe that he is somehow the exact opposite of God. The same power, the same ability, they're just somehow fighting on opposite sides. Christians sometimes get caught in this type of thinking. And while it is true that there is a spiritual struggle between good and evil, Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There is in fact not an epic battle going on between God and Satan, because the fact is God does not need to fight Satan. Humanity gets into trouble at the point where they begin to believe that anything and anyone could ever even come close to God. Nothing comes close to God. Satan has already been defeated. It is something that we often forget as believers. It is something that unbelievers don't realize. But it is truth and it is fact. Satan has already been defeated. And the defining moment for both humanity and Satan was the day that Jesus walked out of that grave. It was the moment that offered hope to humanity and the moment that told Satan, "You've lost. The game is over." The battle we now fight stems from the desperation of an enemy who knows that he is lost, an enemy who knows that there's a place prepared for him called hell, and he has decided that he will fight a losing fight to the end, taking as many souls as possible with him. The primary weapon of the enemy is deception. And with deception, he wages a war that leaves humanity in a constant struggle to choose between freedom and slavery. It is important to know that he not only wages war, a war of deception on the lost of this world, but he reserves his most intense attack for the body of Christ. He is the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren. Jesus is recorded in three different gospels saying to the church, "Be careful that you are not deceived." The church is warned in six different epistles, "Be careful of deception." The Jews who had recently come to believe Jesus were still living in deception. They thought that somehow, because they had a heritage, because they were Abraham's descendants, they were free. They had lived so long with a veil that separated them from God that they didn't even realize how far they truly were from him. They struggled to obey a set of rules that were completely impossible to fulfill, but yet they failed to see the slavery that was sin. Brothers and sisters, let us tonight not become so accustomed to the heritage that is Christianity that we fail to see our constant need for Christ. Let us not become pride-filled and comfortable in simply being professing church-going Christians, that we allow ourselves to be deceived in thinking that our freedom can rest in anything and anyone else other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said that if you would just keep following me, if you would stay in my word, the truth of my word, the truth of who I am would set you free. Deception will make you take lies and think their truth. Deception is what blinds the world from the truth of their condition. Make them think they're free when they're truly slaves in need of a savior. The story is told of towards the war in 1945, Adolf Hitler's mistress joined him in the now infamous bunker. And while there, she penned the words to a friend, "I can't understand how all this could happen. It's enough to make one lose their faith in God." Deception is a dangerous weapon. But knowing that we're free, however, the enemy's priority is to ensure that as children of God, we continue to think like slaves. Why is it sometimes that our behavior doesn't reflect our reality? We're free, yes, but there is still that battle. There's still that battle in our minds to think like we're free. We sometimes find ourselves still bound by anger, by doubt, by fear. We sometimes struggle to see the best in people or even to love the way that we should. I mean, if we're free, why is there still that struggle sometimes? That we struggle, the struggle that we have sometimes more reflects the works of the flesh than it does the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Romans 7, verse 21 in the New Living. "I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Satan has figured out something that we are sometimes slow to get. He who controls the mind controls the person. Marketing and advertising agencies have figured that out. Hollywood figured that out a long time ago, and the music industry thrives on that. Rap, rock, country, there's absolutely nothing wrong with these different styles of music. Personally, I'm a hip-hop girl. Woo! But I love hip-hop. That's just me. But we do need to be careful that the words that get into our mind are Christ-centered. Because you see, they realize that if you rap the music in a sick beat, you'll be so busy vibing with the music that you don't even realize the filth that's getting into your mind. You become a slave to the culture and you don't even realize that it's happening. The words we allow in our minds will either be used to deceive us or free us. It's not enough to say that Christ has made me free, but we must stay free. We have to live like men and women who are free. And so tonight, if we are to stay free, the question we must ask ourselves is, whose word has preeminence in my mind? Is it our words of fear, our doubt, our anger, our insecurities? Is it the words of the enemy, shame, self-sufficiency, superiority? Is it the words of the culture around us, pleasure, tolerance, greed? Or is it the words of Jesus, love, sacrifice, humility, submission? Whose word has preeminence in our minds? The word of God is our first line of defense against becoming slaves again. Jesus is the one who makes us free. But brothers and sisters, tonight what we must understand is he is also the one who keeps us free. We must continue in his word. We must remain faithful to his word. No matter where the culture may go, no matter what the world may say, we must be people of the word. We must be people focused completely on Jesus, because it is he that sets us free and it is he who keeps us free. Sometimes we struggle to walk in freedom, because though we recognize that we are free in Christ, we never really do anything with that freedom. You see, Jesus has not made us free so we can sit back and say, well, geez, it's nice to be free today. If you say that Christ has made you free, but you never really do anything with that liberty, then you are not really free. You are not truly free if you do not do anything with it. God gives us liberty so we can do something with it. And if you never really begin to do anything with your freedom, then you will always be stuck at that place. You know, that place with the line where you can still look over and see the sin that you just came out of, where you can still look over and see the world that you just left. The problem is that while you're looking over that line, you will probably forget how horrible it felt. And well, if living for Jesus becomes just a little bit challenging, you might just take one little step back over that line. When God found Moses and told him to go back to Egypt, he gave Moses specific instructions on what to tell Pharaoh. Exodus 8:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. After 400 years, Israel cried out to God. They wanted to get out of Egypt, but they wanted to get out of Egypt for the sake of getting out of Egypt. They were in bondage. They were being whipped. They were doing hard labor, and they really wanted to get out of bondage. God wanted them out of Egypt, and he was sending a deliverer to get them out of Egypt, but he was not getting them out for the sake of getting them out. He was giving freedom for a purpose. In Egypt, they couldn't serve him properly. They weren't free to serve him. And somewhere along the line of being in Egypt, they became so entrenched in their environment of their new master that they forgot about serving God completely. But if Israel had gotten that, if they had gotten that they were being freed for a purpose, they would have been crossing the Jordan in no time at all. They didn't understand that. They did not understand that they were free from Egypt to do something, and so they stayed in Egypt in their minds. They never moved on from the moment of liberation. So the moment that something didn't feel right, the moment a little bit of hardship came to them, it was easy for them to look back at the line and see Egypt still sitting right there. It was easy to see what was good about it. In light of the current situation, they forget that they had been slaves in Egypt. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. It means don't move. Have you ever seen a two-year-old that decided that they weren't going to move? They'll clench their fists. They might stomp their feet. They'll make a face and they'll say no. And even after you've picked them up, they'll be kicking and screaming because they made up in their minds that they weren't going to move. Tonight, we must make up in our minds that we are never going back to the place that we came from. We must develop a spiritual tunnel vision that is completely focused on Jesus. He said that you'll know me. I am going to set you free. If you are going to stay free, you have to stay with Jesus. And we have to make up in our minds that we're not gonna move. Don't stay in that place where you left sin behind. Don't stay in that place where you left the world behind, because the more you're focused on serving him, the more you're focused on serving Jesus, the farther that line becomes. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are mine. You'll know me, and I'm going to set you free. Your mind should be in such a place that if life should start to get a little bit tough, if life should start to feel a little bit uncertain, and yes, maybe for a moment you might get a little bit disoriented, and you might start to turn around, but when you turn around, all you should see is Jesus. The world should be so far gone that you couldn't see it, even if you try, because everywhere you look, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. The world fed you a lie to make you think you were free. But Jesus is the truth. And tonight we must decide that we will serve him till all we see and know is truth. But the fact is that sometimes while you're busy trying to serve him, there's still that struggle to feel like you're free. The Word of God tells us so much about not going by what we feel or what we see, but what we know to be true. And the truth is that our right standing with God can sometimes be overshadowed by the guilt and the failures of the past. Sometimes the enemy's plan of deception hinges on us upon us deciding just for a moment to go on how we're feeling and not what we know to be true. But Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation says, I'm not going to worship because I don't deserve to. It says that I'm not going to pray to God because, I mean, why would he listen to anybody like me anyways? Everything in this world pushes us to stay stuck in that place where we left the world behind. Everything pushes us to stay at that line where we can still see the world. Do you remember what you did? Do you remember what you said? Do you remember the way you were? And even after God has forgiven us for the mistakes and failures of the past, we sometimes fail to fully live in the freedom that he has given us because our mind is not in step with what our reality truly is, the reality that we are free. If you are a spirit-filled child of God, then you are free. You are free to serve him. You are free to do his will, to accomplish his purpose. You are free to go deeper beyond the veil and land right at his very throne. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus makes you free, but he is also the one who keeps you free. So it is imperative tonight that we stay filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit tonight, all you have to do is ask, and I believe that He will fill you. I know that He will fill you because that is the truth of His Word. And I know that I say it pretty much every message that I preach, but I'm just a girl trying to be obedient to His will. Stay filled with His Holy Spirit. Stay filled with Him, because the more He consumes you, the freer you become. We need Him. We need Him to get free. We need Him to stay free. The more you walk in the Spirit, the more you'll realize that what lies before you is more important, more powerful than everything that you've left behind. A few years ago, I was watching a documentary, and it chronicled the lives of various people as they tried to integrate into society after they had been released from prison. They'd all been involved in the prison system to varying degrees, and they had been incarcerated from anywhere from a few months to 20 or 30 years. For some, prison had become a way of life. It's all they've ever known, and that's where they're comfortable. They had spent years in and out of the prison system, so they pretty much considered it their home. And so upon release, they tried hard to get back there as soon as possible. It was their home. For others, though, there was a real sense that they had valued the freedom that they had been given. So they actively found employment or they enrolled in school. They knew that somehow the odds were against them because they had been incarcerated, but there was a real determination about them that they were never going back to that place where they came from. But there was one person that caught my attention. He had been incarcerated for over 20 years. And after 20 years, all he wanted to do was sit in his apartment. He followed the same routine he had followed in jail. He woke up at the same time. He ate at the same time. He went outside to walk around at the same time. But mostly, he spent his time sitting in his tiny apartment. He was physically free. He could do anything that he wanted to do. He could go anywhere that he wanted to. But all he did was sit in his tiny apartment and talk about how nice it was to finally be free. He was free, but somehow he had trouble accepting that freedom. He wasn't able to live in that freedom because his mind was still in the place that he had come from. He was a free person who lived like an incarcerated individual because his mind was not in step with what his reality truly is. And because of that, he traded one prison for another prison. He never truly got that he was free from prison so that he could live. He was free from prison for a purpose. We tonight, brothers and sisters, have been free for a purpose. If we do not live in that purpose, if we do not walk in that purpose, then essentially what we do is we trade one prison for another prison. If we are going to be free, if we are going to stay free and walk in the liberty wherewith God has made us free, then we must walk in that purpose. We must serve Him with everything that we have. We must stay in His Word, and we must walk in the Spirit in order to stay free. We have been granted freedom tonight for a purpose. You can stand with me. I'm actually closing. Sin is like flesh-eating disease. I think it perfectly describes sin. But instead of your skin, it eats your soul. It eats your relationship, and eventually, it eats your life. And it leaves nothing but pain and death in its trail. Should anyone in here tonight still feel bound by the world, still entangled with sin, still a slave to the enemy, it would be a great, great tragedy because Jesus is in the house. If anyone should leave here tonight thinking that they're stuck, feeling defeated or discouraged by what seems to be a vicious cycle it would be heartbreaking, because the simple fact of the matter is that Jesus is in the house and he is the one who makes us free. We are not fighting for freedom as believers. As spirit-filled believers, we are free because Jesus has made us free. He said, they're mine, I'm taking them. But we have been liberated for a purpose. And unless we walk in that purpose, deception will knock at the door. And once opened, the yoke of bondage will fall on our shoulders once again. The Spirit of the Lord is among us tonight. There is liberty among us tonight. Have you accepted that liberty? Is your mind in step with your reality? Is your life reflective of that truth that Jesus has made you free? Or is there something that still holds you? If there's something that still holds you, are you finally ready to simply let go and say, Jesus, make me free? If you'll close your eyes, we'll just pray for a moment. Jesus, we love you. We thank you tonight, Lord God, for your sacrifice on that cross. But Jesus, we thank you that after 3 days, you came out of that grave, Lord God, and you won the victory for us. We thank you that we are free. We thank you that we're free from the world. We're free from sin. We're free from the bondage of the enemy, Lord God. But tonight we pray that you will keep us free, Lord Jesus. We pray that you will help us to walk in your word, to stay in your spirit, Lord God. But we pray, Jesus, that you'll forgive us that we haven't always walked in that freedom. We pray, Jesus, that you'll forgive us that we haven't accepted that freedom all the time. And our lives may not have always been reflective of that truth, that we are free in you. But tonight, Lord God, we pray, Jesus, that you'll strengthen us. We pray, Jesus, that you help us to walk in it. You'll help us to take it, Lord God. We thank you for the liberty that you've given us. We thank you for your presence among us tonight, Lord God. We know that your presence is here because we've already felt it, Lord. And we know that where your presence is, there is liberty, Lord Jesus. And we pray, God, that you will pour out your liberty tonight among us. We thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. Tonight, as they begin to sing, will you find a place to pray and celebrate the liberty that Christ has given you?